This is the Believe in Bears podcast on the Believe Podcast Network.
What is up, believers, and what is up, Bear Down Nation? I am Cameron Lee.
I am Joey Christopoulos, and today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline.ag. The wait is finally over. Football's back. It's been back. And look, you can't be at the game this year, but you can still be in on all the action at BetOnline. The Bears are 2.5-point underdogs right now against the Carolina Panthers. What are you going to do about it, Bears fans? From game spreads and totals to team player coaching props, even their live betting app, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any place online, and there is always that online casino as well. It never closes. So head to BetOnline.ag today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Again, that's BetOnline.ag and sign up today. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Cameron, Bears, Panthers, Week 6 in Carolina. Let's get it on. It's the Preview Pod.
Absolutely. Let's get right down to it. This game is going to be exciting.
A tough watch.
Yeah, you're Bears fans. If you're listening to us at this point, you're Chicago Bears fans, so you have seen the offense. You know what we are working with. We can talk a little bit about the Carolina Panthers. They are just about as exciting.
This is when the NFL season gets real, because Bears fans, when the schedule comes out, we get the Sharpie out and we start circling win, loss, win, loss. This one in the preseason looked like the easiest win perhaps on their schedule. Doesn't feel like that this week, does it, Cameron? And here's the interesting thing. The Bears are 4-1. The Carolina Panthers, which I think is surprising a lot of people around the NFL, are 3-2 right now. There also just so happens to be a game of the Buccaneers versus Green Bay this week as well. And if the Packers win and the Panthers win, they're in first place. If the Buccaneers win and the Bears win, we go into first place. So a lot on the line.
Big time implications early on in the season. Let's overreact.
Marquee game. Marquee game. But in all seriousness, let's just do a little window shopping real quick. Le'Veon Bell signs with the Chiefs today. That's been kind of dominating Bears fans' thoughts over the last couple of days. Does it feel good to be rejected, Cameron? What are your thoughts on Le'Veon Bell signing with the Chiefs?
He would have been sweet to have. You know, I've heard good things about him, at least on the field, and maybe 2 or 3 years ago. I guess maybe we'll dial back our expectations a little bit. But no, just a player of that magnitude, of that upside. Of course, you want that. You want his playmaking ability, the ability to not only run the ball but also catch the ball out of the backfield. He's just so, you know, just well-rounded. He's just someone that defenses have to account for at all times. And so, obviously, just another weapon, just someone else to add to the Bears' arsenal and to add to this offense, which we have said has lacked pop, if you will. So just someone like that would have been a nice add. But all things considered, like we said, it's been a while since we've seen prime Le'Veon Bell. He has been known to be somewhat of a loose cannon, if you will, and maybe the type of guy that creates some chemistry issues. The Bears got a good thing going. You know, we like our record. We've seen some good things. So let's go ahead and take this as a positive and say that, maybe it just wasn't meant to be. And, you know, there was always that girl that you crushed on so hard in high school, and she just never reciprocated the feelings. You know who you are. But she said no, and you're in a better place right now. You know what I'm saying? So maybe Le'Veon Bell is our high school crush.
I promise not to drunk text my next point here, but he was an obvious fit for the Bears. People said that he was washed last year on the Jets. Well, the last time I looked, he had 1,200 all-purpose yards and 66 receptions. That looks awfully close to the numbers that Tariq Cohen put up in 2018. And to any Bears fans out there that was like, we don't need him, come on, let's be real. We need all the help that we can get on offense right now. It's going to be a big focus of what we're talking about in this preview pod. And again, he loses out to the Chiefs. I get it. We are trying to be Chiefs, you know, junior college, if you will, in terms of our offense. So he would have been really great. But anyone that's out there saying that he wouldn't have come to the Bears because he would have argued over touches, I mean, come on, he's going to the Chiefs. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, they like a whole lot. Patrick Mahomes, oh, by the way, still throws the football a decent amount. So he's just going there, obviously chasing a ring. It's time, though, Cameron, to hit Cam's highlights of the week when we dive into the All-22. And we look deep dive into what's going on with these Bears games and how can we get better. And this is going to be a quick one this week, Cameron, because the only thing that I have down in my notes is Khalil Mack. He's really good.
He's a force. He's an absolute force. And the big highlight that kept getting shown over and over and over and over again was Tristan Wirfs being tossed like a bag of rice, like a very large bag of rice. And no, Khalil Mack had such an impact, and he's obviously had a huge impact this entire season, but seeing him get home a couple of times and just being an absolute force and a game wrecker on the defensive side of the ball, that's what the Bears have been, Bears fans have been like really just waiting to see is these sacks and just that absolute force and freak of nature component that he brings to this defense. And I mean, he did that. Tom Brady was uncomfortable. Wasn't a lot of time to set up and make good reads and throw the ball downfield. And man, it's awesome when you see that. When you see the aggression that the Bears play with, and Khalil Mack, and really just like that entire front group just getting after and after it and after it. It is such a breath of fresh air, if you know what I'm talking about.
Even when he didn't get home, I wonder if you can help describe what it'd be like to block a guy who has this amazing speed to the outside rush, leverages himself and starts kind of leaning into the middle of your body, somehow plants, and then finds a way to maybe not even take a step, but launches his entire body, feels like at times. He goes parallel and launches his entire body with his big mitts outstuck. And it's just, there's an athleticism there that is just unparalleled.
One of the things that people don't necessarily know to look for when you're watching a pass rusher is the ability to change levels, to bend, to like kind of be a somewhat of a contortionist, because everyone can go up and down, but it's the ability to do that while moving. What I mean is like to drop your body to lower levels, to bend to get around a corner, and his ability to go full speed, drop his body to like the lowest possible angle. You know, to ask these big offensive linemen that are sometimes 330, 340 pounds and lumbering to block a person like that is just, it's just bonkers. It doesn't work. And we saw a great example of that on Thursday last week. Thursday, wow, that feels so long ago. But yeah, he's just so bendy and compact and powerful and fast and sound with his hands, sound with his feet, his placement. It's just unreal, and it's a nightmare. It's an absolute nightmare. As a former offensive lineman, I don't envy anyone that has that draws that matchup, because he's an absolute force and a game wrecker and one of the, you know, best players in our league.
And I'll also say, just to go to bat for you, that you're not a former lumberer, Cameron. You're more of a glider, I believe, and your combine 40 story probably says it all.
Did you have you gone back and watched a little bit of Cameron Lee from the 2017 season? I know you've got NFL Game Pass. Watch the All-22, guys.
I called it a glide in my notes.
The glide. Wow, that's. I wouldn't have said that I was a glider, not a lumberer. Maybe a. I don't even know what the word would be. I was a skater. Looked like an ice skater out there, you know? But not like a good one. Like a kid who's out there trying it out for the first time and is going to fall a couple times.
He could pull a triple axel out at any moment, folks. Just keep your eye out there when he's out there on the field. That's pretty much going to do it for Cam's highlights this week. Look, we can go over all the missed throws that Foles did. They're pretty plain to see. The highlights on defense were right there out there in the package that went into the ESPN. So let's just get to the keys to the game. Bears 4-1. If they can go to 5-1, holy cow, in the driver's seat for at least a playoff spot. What is your first key to success? Cam's keys to a Bears win in week 6.
Do you want to talk about running the ball now or running the ball at the end? You choose.
I feel like it's the song when you go to a concert, you got to start the concert off with a really great hit. And I think we got to start off with the running game first just to get the crowd pumped up.
Where have you gone, Chicago Bears running game? Where have you gone these last 2 weeks? Granted, you've played incredibly tough defenses. The Buccaneers are absolute, you know, monsters in the running game. The Colts were the same. So you know what? We will give you somewhat of a pass. But this team, you have got to find it this week. Now is the time to find that complete offensive game. I'm tired of no run game or no pass game. And This matchup is going to be favorable for us on the ground, and I want to see the Bears make a consistent and concerted effort to reestablish the rushing attack. So that's what I'm going to say. I'm not asking you to rush for 150 yards. I'm not asking you to lead the league. David Montgomery doesn't have to have 30 carries. Just make an effort to reestablish the running game.
It's just the most favorable matchup running game-wise that we've seen over the last 3 weeks. These last two games, stout defensive fronts. And I want to hear more about, like, you know, the Carolina Panthers. I see only have 5 sacks this season. They're allowing the most fantasy points to running backs this year. So this is a favorable matchup that you have to exploit as an offense. I know you're trying to figure out your rhythm and what gels with Nick Foles and Matt Nagy, but when you see something out there on the field that you know you can take advantage of, you got to commit to it.
You absolutely do, and this is an opportunity to do that. This group needs to get on track, and sometimes it takes, you know, having some advantage, not just in terms of the talent. Maybe things just kind of go your way, and the Panthers have, they're beat up, they're not a great group, and sometimes you got to beat up, you got to be a bully. Sometimes you got to just go out there and just bully a team and reestablish your confidence. I think the Bears' offensive line, I think their running game, they're probably kind of in need of a little bit of a pick-me-up. And, you know, they've been a little beat up and banged up and maybe embarrassed over the last couple of weeks, and I think that's fair. You know, they looked okay early on, and things have definitely taken a step back. So now let's go out there and let's beat up on a vulnerable group. You know, this is a group that has had injuries and is going to be missing some important players, some very important players, and this is it. You know, this is it. What are we going to see? It's now or never, Chicago Bears running game.
On paper and in theory, it's a feel-good matchup. Got to take advantage. And I just want to get your take real quick. Alex Barrs filled in for James Daniels last week. There were some rumors that Rashad Coward could maybe switch over and take over that starting spot. It looks like it's trending towards Alex Barrs right now, getting the start. And I'll be honest with you, help fill in the gaps for me just from looking at the All-22. After that first series, it just sort of seemed like I stopped looking at Alex Barrs on the tape every single play, because that's a good thing. You want offensive linemen to be, you know, seen, not heard.
You don't even want to see them. You don't even want to notice them. You offensive linemen should go completely under the radar. The fact that Alex Barrs, you know, that you didn't notice him beyond that first series and giving up that sack to Vita Vea, that's a good sign. I think that he played all right, and he's definitely, like we said this before, he's a small step back, and the continuity and all those things that we hit on all the time, that matters, but I think that he will be fine. He'll be sufficient, and this is a good group to go against as you're kind of getting your feet wet and getting your first NFL start.
And you'd have to think they continue to scheme ways to provide him help in certain situations and play calls. I'm going to go to my first key. My first key is just called third downs. I believe I've done this here before. This feels also like one of those broken record situations, but I think this is a classic rubber meets the road situation. The Bears on defense are the second best team in the NFL in third down conversion percentage. I believe it's only 33%. Well, the Carolina Panthers, they're sixth in the NFL in converting. I believe they're 48%. Conversely, the Chicago Bears, the third worst in the NFL, and Carolina, the fourth worst in the NFL. Something's got to give there. Where can the Bears convert these third downs, keep the chains moving? I do think it's going to be a field goal game. And when you talk about field goal games, it really does come down to that third down and five that you have to convert just to give your kicker a chance to put 3 points on the board. If the red zone's going to be an issue, I'm looking at third downs on both sides of the ball right now. It's a strength for the Bears defense, strength for the Carolina Panthers, and then a weakness for both teams.
You know, come third down, you want to see your team get off the field, or at least in terms of the offense, you know, find a way to convert and make things happen. You know, we keep bringing up these points. These are the same talking points week after week after week after week. It's time. It's time, boys. It's time that we go ahead and put these things together and that you're able to execute on that. And, you know, we've got the quarterback in place. We've got this offense that hopefully is trending in the right direction and putting everything together. It's time to go out there and obviously execute on third down, because it's a huge part. I don't know if you know this, Joey. It's really important to winning is third down, because it matters in the ability to extend drives and give yourself more opportunities, and when you're on defense, to get the other team off the field. It matters, Joey.
Yeah, it turns into time of possession, and Matt Nagy this week was talking about how he was kind of haranguing the offense still for failing to execute the little details, and he was talking about 5-yard drops when they're 3-yard drops, all this other stuff, but that really has to boil down to just execution on third down. Keeping the football seems pretty basic, but the Bears seem to continue to have problems making that happen, so it makes it onto my key list for another week in a row. Cam, what's your second key to week 6?
So this is a defensive-related key, and I'm going to focus on this defense
keeping everything in front of them. I don't know if you know what you know about the Panthers offense. They're not exciting. They're just not. They lean hard on Mike Davis as a running back, which is further evidence that running backs do not matter in the NFL. And, you know, they've got some good players, but it's not a group that I look at and go, oh, wow, this offense is filled with, you know, major, major threats. That's not like when you're going out and facing the Buccaneers, or you're going out and facing, like, say, the Saints or the Chiefs or some of these, like, real high-powered, explosive, beat you over the top type offenses. And I think that's a really favorable matchup for the Bears. So this is going to be a team that kind of dinks and dunks and plays a very conservative style of football and almost kind of grinds you out and grinds you to sleep. If the Bears are able to make the plays, keep things in front of them, you know, limit Mike Davis, which is not something I thought I'd ever have to say. If they were able to just come out and just play their game and keep things in front of them and, you know, eliminate mistakes and errors and just play in this nice, clean game, I don't think that there's any reason that that the Bears should have to make some sort of astounding comeback in the third or fourth quarter.
Well, you saw last week with Carolina, they got a 72-yard touchdown from DJ Moore. I mean, that was yards after the catch, about 65 yards, because the Atlanta Falcons, they can't tackle. So that's a great point that you're bringing up. Keep them in front of you. It actually just kind of – I'm just going to meld my second key in there. Mine was just called double moves, because when I'm looking at the All-22, you know, you see DJ Moore, Curtis Samuel, and you see Robbie Anderson out there. They all got speed. And Robbie Anderson in particular is super fast out of his breaks on routes. I mean, he gets open really quickly. He's got a great thing going on with Teddy Bridgewater right now. And the thing that just worries me a little bit is the thing that's burned the Bears a couple of times this year, not that it's a problem, but play action, balls deep, balls in the middle of the field, you know, when they are maybe playing a cover two shell in the secondary, that kind of stuff can burn them. So I'm looking at double moves and that speed on the outside for the Panthers, them trying to take a shot and then burning us deep for a play.
They do have players like Robbie Anderson, like you said, who's a big-time playmaker. I think that it's going to be a worthy matchup. You know, I think this is kind of an underrated group, but I don't see them as a group that we need to be super intimidated by. I think our secondary has proven that they, you know, that they're a competent group, that they're an above competent group. And I think, you know, I love going out and seeing Jalen Johnson compete and Kyle Fuller and, oh man, the hit that he made. I'm still thinking about that hit anyway, but yeah, I just think that I'm not intimidated by this group. I know what they can do, but I'm not intimidated by them by any means. And I think that, you know, barring a meltdown of some sort of a defensive lapse, or, you know, lapse in coverage or any sort of that, I like our chances. I like our ability to keep this thing in front of us. And I want to see Mike Davis beat the Chicago Bears.
Well, and on top of that, too, I think both teams are probably looking at this game as, let's just not beat each other. That old cliche, if we don't beat each other, we limit penalties, stay disciplined, you know, execute on third down, you got yourself a chance to win the game. Because let's be honest, both of these teams aren't really necessarily upper echelon elite.
The Bears are, like, in this weird position where they're already kind of considered the least for real of the four win teams. I think a loss here, you know, could really... really hurt. You know, it's not that the Panthers are being taken really all that seriously, but it's just every single loss is just a further proof that maybe they're not for real. And, you know, this is a team, the Panthers are a beatable team. And coming into the season, like we said, this is a team that absolutely was on everyone's mind as, hey, that's a win, you know. And a loss to that team as you're 4-1, all of a sudden, you know, like, how legitimate are these guys? How legitimate are they if they don't beat the Panthers?
And you start looking at, oh, they play the Titans. They play the Saints. They have to play the Rams next Monday night. They play the Packers twice. So we haven't even played them yet. So the schedule is going to begin to tighten up. And when you do look at the schedule, this is a TCB time. Cameron, what's your third key to success in week 6?
I think you might have brought this up before, but I'm just going to go ahead and hit it home. Did you know they play 4 quarters?
I've been checking. I need to check on the internet. Yep, it says 4 quarters.
Other teams seem to be playing the 4 quarters. The Bears seem to completely skip the third quarter. They have not scored in the third quarter this entire year. Not even a field goal. Not even a Cairo Santos just running out there. But, like, really, this is a bigger point at this point. We want to see a complete game. So score in the third quarter. Is that so much to ask? Okay, just an itty bitty thing. Kick a field goal, and I will get off of it. But I'm not getting off of it until you score in the third quarter.
I was going to say, if they get 3 points in the third quarter, we are going to go nuts in the postgame.
I'm lighting it up.
We're going to be so excited. We are going to play. We're going to play 50 Cent in the club. We're just going to like dance for a little bit. It'll feel so good. It's so funny. I was looking up the stat today doing the homework, and I believe the Carolina Panthers are averaging 2.8 points in the third quarter. And where are those Chicago Bears?
That's a lot. That is a lot.
I know. It's a difference. And honestly, that could be the difference in the game. I'm no hyperbole here.
Nothing to hyperbolize. They literally have not scored. Zero. Five games, dude. The third quarter matters. You have to play this whole thing out, man. I know I sound a little extra animated on this, but I'm serious. The Bears, they're weird, man. This is a weird team. How do you just skip that? How do you just not score?
Hold on, it's mind-boggling. I'm looking up on the internet right now whether in the NFL season in 2020 they moved the third quarter to only 3 minutes. No, it's the same time. It's still the same amount of time. Yeah, it is an interesting stat that I hope that they run actually at the start of the second half, because when they run those types of stats, you know that it's actually going to come true. When the guy hasn't walked someone in 65 innings, what happens in the next batter? He walks someone or he misses a free throw after he's made 35 in a row. So run that stat. Run
the
that
jinx.
Stat, please. And the third quarter, talking about your hands up in the air, you know, my third key to the game, Cameron, it's just about breathing. Chicago Bears fans, we need to breathe. I feel like we've already had, what, 2.5 heart attacks this season? I've been blowing into a brown paper bag for probably, what, 2.5 quarters a game right now? I need to, and Bears fans just need to begin to center themselves, need to get the right oxygen rolling into the brain, get the right Italian beef going into the aortas of your heart and your belly, and we just need to breathe through this next one. Can we get a Bears game that isn't coming down to the very last second when amazing, incredible turns of circumstance need to happen? Can we just get a normal game, Cameron? That's my third key. I want a normal game. Even if it's boring, which it might be, give it to me. I'm ready.
Your key to the game, your key to victory is to just play it, to just have a normal outcome. That's it. I like it.
I mean, give me Downton Abbey. I'm not down with watching 24 or whatever, you know, high-octane thriller that's out there right now that is the Chicago Bears season. It's only week 6. It's not even Thanksgiving yet.
If the Chicago Bears were a movie plot, they'd probably be Speed. If they slow down at all, this whole thing's going to blow up. But at the same time, it's a bus. You know what I mean? It's lots of like, there's people on the bus and you're in the city and Keanu Reeves is there. And there's just a lot of bizarre stuff going on and any small minute detail going awry. And this whole thing just blows up at any moment. But so far it's going okay. So far this thing's working.
Hard to explain, but a hell of a ride. Cameron, pop quiz hotshot. It's that time. Nick Foles, final line, how many yards, how many touchdowns, how many interceptions in week 6?
Hot shot, Nick Foles. Here we go. Given my man, he's going up this week. 270 yards passing, 3 touchdowns, 0 INTs.
Wow. You got Nick Foles. You got BDN throwing himself a nice little game.
I got to have something to believe in.
That's Eric Kramer territory in Bears fans lore. You have to understand that. I mean, that's like as good as we can ask for, 270. 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions.
Have you guys seen like Russell Wilson play? Have you seen like what other quarterbacks do? I don't think like yes, that is a great stat line and we'll take it every time, but like, is that so much to ask? I've seen Russell Wilson throw 6 touchdown games. Dak Prescott threw for 500 plus yards in a game already this season in a loss.
I heard they played.
This is so much to ask.
Yeah, they play 25 minute quarters, Cameron, in those parts.
What is so different in that part of the world?
I don't know. It's the air. It's the water. I'm not sure, but I guarantee you that the pizza isn't correct because it probably isn't deep dish, and that's something that they have to live with. I'm going in the other direction, to be honest with you. I was going to go 212, 1 touchdown, 0 interceptions, and I want to get on, hitch myself to the wagon, the Cam wagon of the running game, and I'm thinking 2 touchdowns for David Montgomery. I'm not going to go yards prediction because that's been the one thing I've been so wildly off with this season is guessing what David Montgomery is going to do on a game-to-game basis. But I think he punches in 2 scores, and yeah, that's what I'm going with.
I think you're probably closer, but I'm feeling like, hey, this is an opportunity to put it all together, and I think we're going to see a complete Chicago Bears offensive performance because I want it. They've had a little extra time off. They're a relatively healthy group. They're going against a less than stellar group and a group that's not particularly healthy. A couple of weeks under the Nick Foles regime. You know, I'm thinking this is a good situation, and the Bears do not have, like, the schedule doesn't get easier. You got to go out and grab one, and I'm thinking this is an opportunity for the Bears offense to reestablish themselves in the running game, find the passing game. I'm going big this week.
Yeah, outside of some of our NFC North brethren matchups and the Jaguars, not a lot of room after this game right here. Cameron, it's time. What's your final score prediction? Bears-Panthers week 6.
I had a number in my head prior to this podcast, but I just gassed up Nick Foles so much that I'm just going to have to, like, scrap out everything that I've thought all week I went on the roller coaster. I just hopped right on the roller coaster. I've ruined my numbers, and now I'm like mathematically, I'm like, that doesn't even add up. So we're going to go with Bears. Big one in this one. We're going Bears 27 and Panthers 20.
This has been my most, I think, waffling that I've done all week long trying to figure out the final score. Where at the beginning of the season, I was like, oh, this is the blowout game. And then I went back and started thinking about it, and I was like, oh, this is probably a lot of field goals. This could be like a 13-10 game. But Cameron, I'm going to call it right now. I'm sticking with my gut on this one. 28-10, Bears win.
28-10?
Yes.
You're going big.
Yes. I think things go wrong early, and I think if we get ourselves, dare I say, a lead early on, Teddy Bridgewater won't be able to extend the field the way that I think the Panthers necessarily want to. I think we can bottle up Mike Davis. Dare I say, I think he can be contained. And I think this is more of what we were thinking preseason, where the Bears actually have a feel good. Another week where maybe where they're like, well, how good are the Panthers? But I think we have ourselves maybe not a statement game, but a little bit of an easier ride this week. Because I got to breathe, Cameron. I just have to breathe on Sundays now. I can't make it. I'm not going to make it.
So think about us, guys. If you're listening, David Montgomery and Nick Foles and Khalil Mack, do it for Cameron and Joey, because we need a breather. We absolutely need a breather. We had a little bit of extra time off thanks to your guys' Thursday night game, and we appreciated that. But it's a big game this week, and we want to win it, but we also want to not go into cardiac arrest. So I've been watching my diet. I've been trying to do all the right things. I've been meditating. Don't make all of that effort be for naught. Help me out, guys. Do your part.
Just because we're rested and we're gassed up doesn't mean we can't be reflective and improve upon our mental state of mind moving forward. And we're just imploring the Chicago Bears to just maybe give us a week off and talk about a normal win and maybe, you know, put some points on the board. And the defense, I think, does have momentum. Talking with some Carolina Panthers people this week, they have that sound in their voice again. In the past, it was, yeah, the Bears got a good defense, but I think opponents now and fans are starting to talk about that Bears defense as something to fear again. I think they got the momentum. I think they could have a really good game based on this matchup. Quarterback, running back, wide receiver. We got some great players on the defense. I think they bottom them up, and this could feel good.
It could, but then again, it's the Bears, so don't get cocky.
Week 6, Bears-Panthers. It's coming up in Carolina. Cameron, take us home on another great pod.
You've been listening to the Believe in Bears podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. Make sure you guys check out our post-game show on Sunday. Continue to check out all of the fun content that Joey and I are producing for you guys. Follow the show. Make sure that you give us a subscribe. It's going to pay for my son to go to college one day. I can almost guarantee it. And go ahead and remember to always bear down.
Shout out to Cam's grandma.
You have been listening to the Believe in Bears podcast on the Believe Podcast Network.